And let's turn to the word today. I want to share a word today that I think is going to be an encouragement to you in many ways. But would you pray with me first as we just prepare our hearts to be good ground to receive the word of God today? Lord, thank you that your word is living and active. Your word, it pierces to the dividing of soul and spirit. It judges the thoughts and intents of our heart. Your word never returns void. Your word has a purpose. Your word challenges us, Lord. We look into that mirror of your word, and we're not to be the same. We're to be doers of the word, not hearers only. So God, give us ears to hear, but also the obedience to obey, the heart to obey today your word in all things. In Jesus' strong name, amen and amen. I want to bring a message this morning on giving him thanks. Giving him thanks. I'm going to use a fairly common story. In fact, my dear sister Pam used this just this past Wednesday night, but I want to bring out maybe some different thoughts today on this. Let me start with a little passage. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, I think, is a really key verse as we are walking through these days and walking up to this week of Thanksgiving. Here's what the Apostle Paul says. Okay, here's what God says through the Apostle Paul. In everything, not for everything, but in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Sometimes we get lost and we wonder, what's God's will for us? I can tell you one thing. Here it explicitly is described. The will of God for you and I is that we would walk in obedience to his word, and in everything, even the tough things, even the hard things, even the difficult things, that we'd give thanks to God, because God's plan's ultimately going to prevail. God's justice will ultimately come. God does not have a problem, folks. God has a plan, and it'll work out. You watch. Just keep trusting him and thanking him every step of the way. And I want to say to you this morning that one of the higher dimensions of worship is really learning to give thanks to God. Thanksgiving is a higher dimension of worship. I'm not talking just about the holiday. I'm talking about the heart condition. And that's what I want to focus on today. I'm grateful for our country, and I'm grateful that our country has a specific holiday called Thanksgiving. I think that's a very good thing. But there's so much more to it than just eating lots of turkey and dressing and stuffing and all that, taking a nap, watching a football game. There's something so much more to it, and I want to get to that today. It really has to do with expressing our love for God. In fact, I want to give you just kind of a quick working definition this morning of worship. Of worship. What is worship? Well, that's kind of a little bit of an unusual word in some ways. We don't really use it outside the church context much. But we all worship, that's for sure. Whether we do it in church or do it outside of church, we all worship. And worship really comes from some old English words, worth. Ship and how much something's worth. And really worship defines, if you will, in your life, what is worth the most in your life. And I want to say this: worship is love expressed. Love expressed. Heard this story one time. I hope it's not a true story, to be honest with you, but I tend to think it might be, about the married couple, and the wife comes to the husband and says, "How come you don't ever say you love me? How come you don't ever tell me you love me? We've been married 30 plus years." And he said, "I told you 30 plus years ago I loved you, and if anything changes, I'll let you know." Can I just tell you, that's not a very exciting marriage. That's not a marriage where love is being expressed. And because it's being not just not expressed, but really repressed, there's something left wanting in that marriage, I guarantee you. And love, when you really love somebody, you can't help but express it. It's got to come out. And I want to talk about worship as love expressed, or expressing thanks, gratitude from the depths of our heart. Let's look at a passage in Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17 this morning. It says, now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. This is Jesus. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priests. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned, and with a loud voice glorified God, fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. First thing I want to point out to you this morning is worship is giving thanks to God. It's giving thanks to God. And in verse 15, it says that out of those 10 lepers, one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God. And he fell down on his face at his feet, at the feet of Jesus, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. One leper did, 9 lepers didn't. I don't know if that really kind of lays out for us perhaps the statistics. Do you think that possibly 90% of us really aren't that grateful? Do you think that perhaps only 10% tend to be inclined toward gratefulness, toward expressing their love, toward really giving thanks? May it not be so, especially here at New Song. May we be a church absolutely characterized by giving God thanks day in and day out, not just one day of the year, but every day of the year. One leper did what all the rest didn't. Notice the outward expression, by the way, of his inner gratitude. I mean, he literally, with a loud voice, you could not stop this guy. You couldn't hold him back. He was going to let it out, and he let it out with a shout. And he thanked God, and he fell at Jesus' feet. This is one of the many occasions in the life and ministry of Jesus where someone fell at his feet. Those are always powerful encounters in Scripture, and it's because he's so thankful. His heart is just welled up with thankfulness. Can I say to you that worship's all about thanking someone after you've received something? That's really what it's about. Worship is about giving thanks because of God's goodness to you. Because of the evidence you see in your life of his goodness. Because he has blessed you. Because he has saved you. Because he has ransomed, redeemed your life. You just can't help but express thanks. Let me say this. It's that true love is always expressed. You may have grown up in a dysfunctional family. I hope not, but many of us did. And in a dysfunctional family, oftentimes one of the markers of just deep-set dysfunction is a lack of expressing love. There are some families, it always breaks my heart when I hear this or see this, that the mom and the dad don't even tell the kids that they love them. Just heard recently, broke my heart, of a dear friend. His mom never said she loved him. It shouldn't be that way. Absolutely shouldn't be that way. Love's supposed to be expressed. And by the way, even if you came from a dysfunctional family where love was never expressed, as a Christian, you are now a part of a new family. And love is expressed in the body of Christ to God and to one another. We are to love God and we are to love one another like we love God. And you know what? There ought to be thankfulness. I'm thankful for you. Yes, you sitting right there today watching. I'm thankful for you. I am. I'm thankful for your faithfulness. I'm thankful for your love for the Lord. I'm thankful for your friendship. We need to express those things. True love, genuine love is always expressed. Let me ask you a question. Was it appropriate for this guy, for this leper, to express his worship the way he did, to shout it out with a loud voice, to fall at Jesus' feet? Yes. Absolutely, 100%. Yes, We may not do it the same way. We all have different personalities, but I can tell you one thing. Every one of us should be finding ways to express our love to God for his goodness to us. Families that don't express love are dysfunctional. So it is with churches. You have a father, a heavenly father, who is expressive. The Bible says he's lavished his love upon us. And you're in the family of God. Let me share with you this morning something very interesting from the Old Testament. There are approximately 11 words in the Old Testament used to describe praise to God. Here's seven of the most popular, the ones that are most frequently used. I want you to see them this morning, right here in front of you today. They're very powerful. The first is Todah. It means a Thanksgiving choir, a group of people singing thanks to God. By the way, I want you to look for a common theme here. These are the Strong's definitions of each of these words found frequently and commonly in the Old Testament for praise. Todah, a Thanksgiving choir. Barak, to kneel in thanksgiving to God. Halal, this is a common and frequent word, one that you probably recognize because it's where we get the word hallelujah. And it literally means to give thanks by being clamorously foolish. Listen, if I'm going to look clamorously foolish, it's going to be for God's sake. Amen? And I'm more than glad to do that. The next one, you got to be a little careful how you pronounce this next one. It's Tehillah, okay? Not tequila, it's Tehillah. You take a little tequila, you might be clamorously foolish, but it won't be for God. But this is Tehillah, and it means to sing a song of thanksgiving to God. How about Yada? It means to give thanks with extended hands. Extended hands. Some people are afraid even now to lift their hands in worship to God, to really let go, to really give him praise, to really express their love to him. Let me encourage you to enter in. Zamar, to give thanks with a musical instrument. You saw Timothy doing that so well today, and Alexis on the piano. Shabbat, to give thanks in a loud tone. I love to Shabbat. I love to shout praises to God. Did you notice the consistent theme here? Anything pop out to you on these definitions? Did you notice that every one of them had to do with giving thanks to God? Through different means, different expressions, different ways, but it was all about expressing thanks. You can't worship, you can't praise God without expressing your thanks to him. And why do you express thanks? Because he's done something so wonderful for you. So every one of us, man, I'm telling you what, we ought to be the most thankful people in the whole world. You'll never be a true worshiper if you don't learn to give thanks and you don't learn to express your love to God. One verse that has all four of these, or four of these words in it. One verse, four of these Old Testament words. I want to show it to you. It's found in Psalm 100, verse 4. It says, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name." It's pretty cool here. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. That word thanksgiving is Todah. With praise is Tehillah. Be thankful is Yada. And bless is Barak. So you might put it this way. Here's a little transliteration of it. Enter into his gates with a thanksgiving choir. And into his courts with singing praises. Be thankful by extending your hands to him. And bless him by bowing before his name. I'll tell you what. In other words, express yourself to God. Express your love. Express your thanks. You don't have to do it all the same way. We have different ways, of course, but here's how God says we're to express thanks to him. And worship must be expressed. Love must be expressed. We must be people who give him thanks, even in the dark times, even in the difficult times. We've got to be people who absolutely express our love to him. Number two, something I want to point out to you. Miracles precede gratitude. Did you know that? Miracles precede gratitude. Verse 15, "And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God, fell down at his on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. One returned and glorified God. Why? Because he had received something so incredibly precious from God. He didn't return before, but he returned after the miracle, after he'd received something so precious. Now, it'd be really strange, right? Let me just kind of act out something here for you. It'd be really strange for one of you to come up to a friend of yours, you know, especially around these holidays. Your friend walks up and you look at them and you say, thank you. Just want to say thank you. Your friend looks at you and goes, what for? Well, I know you're going to get me something really nice for Christmas. That wonderful gift that you're thinking about and ready to purchase for me. I just want to say thank you even before you give it. Talk about a little bit of an awkward situation. Probably a little awkward situation there. Why? Because we don't normally thank someone for something before they've done it. We thank someone after we've received something very special or a gift. Gratitude comes after receiving. Let me tell you a little bit about leprosy. I don't know how many of you have ever had the opportunity to actually be around a leper. I have. One of the humbling and powerful moments in my life. In fact, I think, if I'm not mistaken, I have visited a leper hospital at least 3 times. One of the few remaining leper hospitals in the world was in Managua, Nicaragua, a precious country that I've been to over 30 times. And by the way, please be praying for my dear brothers and sisters in Nicaragua. They were just hit by the most powerful hurricane in the history of the country this past week. And 2 weeks prior to that, they were hit by another hurricane. This last one, 145 mile an hour winds in parts of the nation, 20 inches of rain in just a short period of time. Please pray for them. They're going through a lot of struggling, a lot of challenges right now. We love you, our friends there in Nicaragua. We're praying for you. But I had the opportunity to visit this leper hospital. It was always, always, always a sobering experience. Leprosy, especially in Jesus' day, you know, it was seen as just a horribly contagious skin disease that could easily be acquired. And because of that, lepers were considered outcasts from society. And it really means that they couldn't do normal things in community. And it was the same way in the leper hospital. It was a community. There was a compound behind the hospital where all the lepers lived. And we took appropriate precautions and we were able to go in and actually love on the lepers. It was so deeply touching. Just to love on these people who'd been so excluded and so hurt and felt like such outcasts. And Jesus, He loves these lepers. He goes outside. He goes beyond the social boundaries. A leper couldn't go to the grocery store or the market. A leper couldn't go to his child's school. A leper couldn't kiss his wife goodnight. A leper had to shout, unclean, unclean, so the people would scatter away from them. They literally, it was seen as a judgment from God upon their lives. There was a famous doctor several years ago who in India, as a missionary, began to study about leprosy. And this is really graphic and terrible, I'm sorry, but just to give you an idea of just how horrible this disease is and how horrible the existence of someone who had leprosy was, he found that frequently lepers would wake up in the morning and they would be bleeding. And he began to put cameras where he could record and try to figure out why this was happening with such regularity. And he found that in the middle of the night there in India, oftentimes the rats would come and literally eat on the person. And because of their deadened nerves, they didn't even feel it. They didn't even know this was happening. And this famous doctor helped in so many ways. But I want you to think about this leper that returns. He's got his life back. He's got his life back, folks. You better believe he's going to say thanks with a loud voice. He's going to fall at Jesus' feet. He's going to be so thankful. By the way, if you're a believer in Christ today, weren't you healed of a much worse disease? A disease called sin that separated you from God, that literally had you in bondage, that was going to literally drag you to hell? And you've had a Savior who lovingly and graciously paid the price for you and saved you. Tell you what, folks, it's time to fall on our knees at the feet of Jesus and be thankful with a loud voice to Him for His goodness. What precedes miracles? Obedience. Obedience precedes miracles. Verse 14, it says, "So when he saw them, he said to them, 'Go show yourselves to the priests.' And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed." As they went, they were cleansed. This kind of doesn't really make a lot of sense. And there's a lot of things in the Bible that don't seem to make sense unless you're looking at them through the lens of obedience. God is looking for our obedience. He wants us to be obedient to Him in all things. They weren't healed yet. Do you understand what this is saying? They're going to show themselves to the priest even before they're healed. What is this? It's a walk of obedience. It's trusting God before the miracle happens, because obedience precedes miracles. Sometimes things look backwards when we're following God. Sometimes we tend to say, if only I could understand this, then I'd obey. No, you obey first, then you'll get understanding. You believe first, and then you'll see the miracle. You walk in obedience to what God says first, and then watch what happens. As they went, the Bible says, they were healed. The key word here is obedience. They're doing what Jesus is said to do, even though no miracles happened yet. I don't know if you realize it or not, but this is a really common pattern in the Bible. We see it again and again. Here's Moses and the children of Israel, and God has led them on this path to where their backs are up against the Red Sea. And God says to Moses, "Stretch out your rod." I mean, Moses has got to be, "But there's the army. They're bearing down on us." "Be obedient, Moses. Stretch out that rod and watch what happens." He has to be obedient first, and then the miracle comes. How about the priests who were crossing the Jordan River? And it's at a time of the year, quite honestly, it's flood stage time. The river's high, and God says, "As you're taking my ark across this river, put your feet in the water first, and then the river will part." It's a test of faith. It's a test of obedience. Are you going to do what I'm telling you to do, even though it might seem strange, maybe even dangerous? But as soon as they put their feet into the water, just like God told them, the river, the Jordan River, parts, and they walk through on dry ground. This is how it works. Many times God will call us to do something that seems a little bit strange, a little bit different. But faith and obedience first, and then the miracles come. Naaman comes to the prophet, and the prophet says, "Go dip yourself 7 times in the Jordan River." Naaman just, man, he just sputters and he just doesn't want to do it. And they say to him, "You know what? If you'd been asked to do something great, you would have been glad to do it." And finally, he relents and goes and does exactly what he was told, and the miracle comes. Jesus says to the man with the withered hand, this man has a withered hand. There's kind of some humor in this, right? Jesus says to the man with the withered hand, I mean, maybe even you might see it as a little insensitive, "Stretch out your hand." What? How am I going to do this? And he stretches it out, and the healing comes. There's an act of obedience. There's following what God says. It's right here in the story. It's so powerful. What is God telling you to do that you are not doing that could release a miracle in your life? Sometimes, folks, the biggest thing we need to do is have an obedience check. Is your obedience in God up to date? I like to think of it like that. God, sometimes when I'm praying for something and nothing is happening, and I'm believing for a miracle and nothing is happening, or breakthrough or whatever, God, is my obedience up to date? Have you told me to do something that I have been disobedient in, that I have failed to do? And many times God will just show me, yeah, I spoke to you sometime back, told you to do this, and you just kind of blew it off, Jeff. And I've got to go back, get my obedience up to date, and guess what? Breakthrough comes. Blessing comes. Now, let me show you something here this morning that I think will be interesting and helpful to you. Let's look at the context of all that Jesus is teaching and all that Jesus is showing us here. Let's go to the beginning of the chapter in chapter 17. Let's go to verse 1, and let's kind of look at the flow of the chapter. Sometimes getting the context is very, very helpful, and there's a consistent theme oftentimes in Scripture. So verse 1, it says, then he says to his disciples, it's impossible that no offenses should come, but woe to him through who they do come. Now he's going to talk to the offended and the offender here. So listen to these words. It'd be better for him, this is the one who offended, if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea, than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. Now look at the apostle's response here. This is very interesting. And the apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. I mean, this forgiveness thing is hard. It's really hard. People are going to offend you, but you forgive them, Jesus says. And the disciples, they're listening. They're, okay, well, we can do that. And then Jesus says, but wait. If they offend you seven times in a day, I still want you to forgive them. And look at their response. Oh, man, they got to be talking to one another. That's a lot of times. Wow, that's a lot of offense. I mean, and what do they say? Lord, I don't know. We're going to probably need some more faith for this one. But can I just say to you, you don't forgive by faith. You forgive out of obedience to God first and foremost. So I want to connect these. Look at verse 6 now. Look at verse 6. So the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. How many of you ever, you've heard these verses, and sometimes you've heard them taken out of context. How many of you knew that this was on a passage about offense and forgiveness? It's interesting, isn't it? Now look at the rest of the passage, because Jesus is connecting some thoughts here, and it's going to lead us to the story of our lepers here in just a minute. Verse 7, and which of you, having a servant plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he's come in from the field, come at once and sit down to eat? But will he not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper and gird yourself and serve me till I've eaten and drunk, and afterward you will eat and drink? Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. So likewise you, when you've done all those things which are commanded you, say, we're just unprofitable servants. We've just done what was our duty to do. So did you catch this? Prepare something for the master to eat. Then you eat. There's duty required here. There's a task assigned. There's servanthood here. In the same way, you obey me, my disciples. Be servants. Do what you're supposed to do. Think about this. Jesus says, you need to forgive people. The disciples said, seven times in a day, we're going to need more faith to do that. And Jesus is saying, no, you need to do what you're commanded. You need to be obedient to me. There's never, never, never a reason. This has nothing to do with your faith and or feelings. This has to do with obedience. And it's all about you keeping your soul connected to God and not letting someone else's hurts cause you to be blocked from God in a relationship with him. Do what you're supposed to do. When you do what you are told, you know what? You don't feel all proud about yourself because you did what you were told. It doesn't take faith to forgive. It takes obedience. Jesus says, I want you to forgive people. And you know what their response should have been? Yes, sir. Yes, Lord. Then the 10 lepers come along. All right, are you seeing these three passages? It's very interesting here how these three passages connect. And I think there's a theme that's happening here. The 10 lepers come along. And Jesus tells this story about the 10 lepers. He encounters the 10 lepers. Jesus kind of looks over at the disciples. Watch this, disciples. Watch what happens here. Watch what I'm going to say to these 10 lepers. Go present yourselves to the priest. Then you'll be healed. Jesus is saying, and he's showing to the disciples, good things happen when you're obedient. When you do what I've commanded you to do. When you do what you were supposed to do. Now, let me just be very sensitive here to some of you hearing what I'm saying this morning. If I am not saying if you are waiting on a miracle that you are in sin. I'm not saying that. Not at all. But I am saying for each and every one of us, obedience to God is key. What's God telling you to do? Can you imagine, by the way, let's fast forward the clock a bit. 20 years later, after this encounter with the leper, the leper's got his family back. The leper's got his business back. The leper is back to living life normal. And he's walking across the town square one day. And he sees across the square Jesus. He sees Jesus. Let me ask you a question. Would it still be appropriate 20 years later for this man to fall on his face at the feet of Jesus and with a loud voice to give thanks to God? Would it still be appropriate? Absolutely it would be. Of course it would be. How about you and I just being so thankful for God's salvation in our lives, for God's transformation in our lives, for God's daily provision in our lives? The list goes on and on and on. Day after day, we ought to be falling on our face at his feet, thanking him. Now, this is going to blow some of you away, but I want to show you a progression that we've been laying out here this morning. And it's simply this. Obedience produces faith. Faith produces miracles. Miracles produce gratitude, and gratitude produces worship. Did you get that? By the way, where did the term giving thanks come from? We tend to say that when we sit down to eat a meal. Actually, today we tend to say, maybe it's an older generation that tends to say, let's give thanks. I think a lot of us today, we just, let's bless the food. Thank you for the food I'm about to eat. Amen. You know, we dive in. But it used to be very common. Let's give thanks. Why? Because they remembered times, an older generation remembered times of great need, and they were very thankful for the provision they had. But where does the phrase come from? If you look it up in the Bible, you'll find it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You'll find it right there in the Gospels. I believe it comes from Jesus' practice. Every time Jesus is sitting down and breaking bread, he gives thanks to God. He gives thanks to God as he breaks that bread. He was teaching them, this is a miracle. Be thankful for the provision you have. Give thanks to the one that truly deserves thanks. Give us this day our daily bread. All the things that he could have taught them to pray, he taught them in his prayer, right? To understand the importance of daily gratitude to God, expressing our love to God. And I kind of wonder as we close today if the reason some of you this morning, and maybe it's been for a while in your life that you've had trouble expressing your love to God, are you truly thankful? I love this saying, when gratitude begins, the struggle ends. There's something so key and so powerful about having a heart of gratitude to God. Maybe some of you are actually hurt with God. Maybe some of you have not been obedient in forgiving those who've offended you. Whatever it is, would you get it right with God today? Would you bring it to him right where you are? Would you let him heal your heart? Would you, by in obedience, forgive those that have hurt you? Would you just open up the well, so to speak? Maybe it's been dammed up and it just needs to be released, and let that thanks come flowing forth to God himself. Maybe some of us just aren't walking in obedience to God like we need to. We need to get that obedience up to date. It's real simple. Do what God says, and you'll see miracles. And when you receive miracles, listen, you will overflow with gratitude. So let's commit to being obedient to God in all things today. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes with me this morning? Let's pray together. Lord, speak to each of our hearts. Show us what we need to make right before you today. Lord, we want to be the kind of people who are walking in absolute obedience to you in all things, so that you can do great things in and through our lives, that you can bring miracles and blessings and breakthroughs. Help us to be people of great, great thankfulness, great gratitude. Heal our hurts, and Lord, let us let go of any unforgiveness. Let us have a clean slate before you, Lord. And let us be people of great praise, because you and you alone are worthy. Thank you that you've saved us, you've transformed us, you've made us your children. We are forever grateful. Do your work in us today, in Jesus' strong name. Everybody said amen. Amen. God bless you. Thanks for tuning in today. We love you. We are praying for you daily, and we hope to see you very soon. Have a wonderful and blessed Thanksgiving. God bless you.